We agree with our bishops, and that's why we went on the road to stand with struggling families and to lift up our Catholic sisters who serve them. We are responsible not only for ourselves and our immediate family, rather, our faith strongly affirms that we are all responsible for one another. I am my sister's keeper. I am my brother's keeper.
In 2012, a bunch of Catholic nuns got on a bus and set out to bring their message of social justice to the nation. It was an election year, and Sister Simone Campbell and the other sisters made global headlines with two separate multi-state tours, punctuated by Sister Simone addressing the Democratic National Convention in Charlotte, North Carolina. I remember listening to it well. There have been additional bus tours, and this summer, next week, in fact, the nuns are boarding the bus yet again to bring their message to mend the gaps to 13 states and to both national political conventions. We've been fortunate enough to have Sister Simone with us at the start of every major bus tour, and I'm so happy to say this time is no exception. And so, Sister Simone Campbell, welcome back to State of Belief Radio.
Oh, it's great to be with you, Weldon. Thanks for the invitation.
Which number trip is this for the nuns on the bus?
It's actually the fifth trip. One a year for 5 years. It's pretty amazing. But we're excited to be back at it. Lord knows our nation has needs that we hope to address.
My goodness, yes. Okay, so you're... theme as well as your message is mend the gap. Tell us about that.
Well, as we look around our nation, we see the terrible income and wealth disparity, and we also see people being pushed out of our democracy, not having access to health care, not having access to good homes, or just being plain homeless. We see those gaps in our society, and we say, oh my heavens, we have to do something about it. But you know, there's good news in the midst of all of that struggle. The good news is it didn't used to be this way. And so policies have created this mess. Policies can change it. We the people have to come together and have the political will to make change. So we're going on the road to lift up the divides, the gaps that exist, but say, we can make a difference. We are better than this. We can make change. And trying to get people mobilized so that, one, they're engaged in the election process around these issues, but, two, they remember after the election that we, the people, have to stay engaged in the hard work of democracy.
I know there are many stops scheduled between July 11th and the 29th. When you look at that schedule, are there some particular highlights in the itinerary that have your attention and you think, oh, this is going to be a good day?
Well, I'm kind of an odd person, but the one I'm most excited about are the days we're at the Republican National Convention in Cleveland, because I think too often we don't talk to people who think differently than us. And our policies are more aligned with the Democratic Party, not totally, but more aligned there. But we really are excited to have conversation with those at the Republican convention. So we're going to have lemonade wagons. We can't get our bus closed, so we've got these two wagons that are going to have pictures of the buses on the side, and we're going to serve lemonade and then engage people at the convention in conversation to talk about what worries them in this election, what gives them hope for our nation. And then we're going to do the same thing at the Democratic convention, but I think it's more likely at the Republican convention that people will not be used to having this kind of thing happen. That, for me, is really the high point of the trip. I can hardly wait.
I understand that, and I agree with you that we talk too little with people who hold opinions different from ours. But it seems to me like the Republican convention is going to be a cauldron of controversy, competition, anger, some speeches that we would rather not hear. How are you going conversationally to get delegates with whom you'd like to have a conversation to talk about anything other than what their agenda is for being in that convention.
Well, the sisters on the bus and some of our interfaith friends are showing up. We're all going to be together. There's going to be about 36 of us, and we're going to fan out across the downtown area of Cleveland with clipboards, lemonade, and offer people refreshment, engage them in conversation. It's not a scientific study of delegates, but it's more about engaging the heart of the issue and giving people a chance to talk about what matters to them. Hopefully it works. Pope Francis says the most important thing we can do is to engage in dialogue if we want to build peace. And so it's our effort to step into that peace-building space by just listening and asking questions. I'll let you know if it works, but it's our theory.
Well, this political season has been so dominated by battles over pretty much everything except matters of social justice. And it's terribly important that delegates get engaged in conversation with people like you and your colleagues. I also wonder, how different will be your approach, if at all, to the Democratic Convention after doing the Republican Convention?
Well, that's really good that you asked that question, Weldon, because we're going to ask the very same questions at the Democratic Convention. And then what we want to do is compare the results from Cleveland and Philadelphia and in August release something that says this is what we heard in two places. I have an idea that the hope for our nation that we ask people about in both locations will be similar. I also have an idea that what we see as anguish in this election time will be different, but it'll be interesting to see what happens. Additionally, at the Democratic Convention, we asked for the Republicans, but they're not doing workshops. But the Democrats have given us three workshop slots at the Democratic Convention in the convention hall to do our Mend the Gap workshops. So we're going to explore the income and wealth disparity that exists in our nation and then have what we can do about it. So we're going to be more policy-oriented, substantive with that. But it's our caucus model where everybody gets engaged, nobody's left out of the action, and then we urge people to get committed to making a difference, mending the gaps. We have to be involved, whether we're running for office or not. Probably most important of all is that we get involved, those of us not running for office, so we keep an eye on those folks who do end up winning these positions.
Yes. Have you already had some contact with candidates that you find receptive to this kind of thing, or are you just going to go cold turkey into the conversations and hope you can get them going as you approach people?
Well, we've done some work in the states we're going to where they're Senate candidates. We've reached out to all of the Senate candidates, and we have what we call side-by-sides, where we compare the Senate candidates' positions on our key issues. So we're going to be handing those out. So we've done a bunch of work to try to engage at the Senate level. And then in some areas where we're going, we also have it for our House representatives that are running for reelection. Most of it, though, with the folks that we're going to talk to, it really is going in cold turkey where we're just curious. You know, I say that one of the key virtues for the 21st century that gets lost often is holy curiosity. So we're going with holy curiosity just to ask these questions because we need to know where other people stand. And it's that position of being curious and inviting, that's what Nuns on the Bus is about.
How does your commitment to social justice, which is grounded in faith, in your faith, how does that play among people who tend not to be religiously oriented, not ready to talk about issues of faith? What does a conversation with a person like that look like?
Well, one of the things we discovered on the bus is that while we're the Nuns, N-U-N-S, on the bus, we discovered that our bus really appeals to people without a faith tradition, the N-O-N-E-S, the folks who are identified without a denomination or a religious preference. And what we discovered is when we bring the community of the bus, the community of the sisters, mm-hmm. everyone feels welcomed. And so what we say is that we are rooted in Catholic social teaching. You're absolutely right. We're rooted in our faith, but we're open to all who share our passion. And one of the things that I really like to point out is that while I do this work because of faith, mm-hmm. in our very pluralistic society, I can't expect folks are going to share my faith. But where we do meet is in the Constitution. And in the Constitution is the best of any faith. It's we the people of the United States yeah. forming a more perfect union. And so it's that secular manifestation of what is basically that human faith response to be community. Mm-hmm. That's what we're about on the bus. The other piece I would say that's really important to us is that we are supported by so many different faith groups, denominations. We're starting at the Unitarians in Madison, Wisconsin, and we're working with the United Church of Christ in Cleveland. So it's a wide swath of folks involved to make a bus trip happen. It's far beyond just the limitations of our Catholic faith. But all of us bring a commitment to the deep values that say community is at the heart of the gospel, community is at the heart of our Constitution, and we'll be a lot better if we work together on it.
You alluded to the Pope in your remarks, and I can't help but think there must be tremendous excitement among the nuns, particularly in knowing that what you're doing is being totally supported by the people in Rome, and that you're carrying out a part of the vision of this Pope. That must feel really good.
Oh, it does, Weldon. I mean, it's so amazing to have Pope Francis, who engages these very issues in his in just how he is in his being, and speaks of the importance of reaching out to those who are most marginalized. One of the things that we did on our bus trip in the fall, when before Pope Francis came, is we took a variety of videos of different people across the country and telling their story of struggle or mm-hmm. engagement, or how the Pope gave them a sense of uplift and of hope. And we actually put it on a tablet and got it to him through our government mm-hmm. contacts. But what I know from a response we got from the Vatican is that they appreciated it, that to see our people. And so this time we're going to do video. We're not going to get it to the Pope, but we're going to post it on our website, nunsonthebus.org, so that folks can see who we're encountering, how they feel, and kind of how Pope Francis influences sure. them or inspires them. So that'll be a piece of the action.
Yeah, really good. I remember talking to you when your book first came out in 2014. The title is A Nun on the Bus, How All of Us Can Create Hope, Change, and Community. And I want to pick up on the all of us. I'd like for you to take just a moment and talk about ways that people who are hearing this is going on can get personally involved in the same kind of activism.
Oh, thank you for that opportunity. Absolutely. Well, one of the good ways folks can get involved is through our work at networklobby.org. We're on the web. You can check us out, see if it's a level of interest that you're interested in. But as a person of faith, what I know is that everybody has a part to play. And I would love for everybody to be a member of our organization network, but not everybody's called to that role. But what I urge is that everybody does their part. So for a number of people, it's to be active in the community, to work on local issues like some of the issues of housing or homelessness or issues of healthcare expansion or wages. But whatever it is, do something. But don't just do charity. We need both. We need both charity and justice. Within our tradition, we talk about it as the two feet of the gospel. It's charity and justice. So do your part. Networklobby.org, it's a place where you can get involved, but there's a number of other levels of getting involved. We've got a bunch of links on our website if people want to see. And actually, the places we're going to go visit on this bus, a lot of them have local outreach where people can get involved locally. So check us out at nunsonthebus.org and see if you're going to we're going to be in your neighborhood.
Sister Simone Campbell is Executive Director of Network Lobby for Catholic Social Justice. A tireless activist, Sister Simone has been organizing effective Nuns on the Bus campaign since 2012. The nuns are riding once more this summer, starting in Wisconsin this coming Monday, and you can see the full itinerary at nunsonthebus.org. Simone, I hope you'll we'll see each other in Philadelphia at least later in this month. We will be there with State of Belief, and I hope that we run into you and can have maybe a brief conversation while we're both enjoying or enduring that convention. Safe travels to you, and thanks so much for being with us again on State of Belief Radio.
It's an honor, Weldon. Thank you so much.